I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Came over and introduced himself to us. What did he just tell you?
Apparently, he is accusing me of jumping over the turnstiles.
Accusing?
At MARTA in Midtown. That's ridiculous.
Is this not true?
When those crappy breeze cards didn't work, maybe once or twice jumped it. I didn't break the new glass, though. You can't put that one on me.
He came in and said, yeah, I used to watch you jump the rails. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Hey, man, tonight we get game two of the NBA Finals. We're live at Twin Peaks, guys. And thanks for all of our listeners coming out, hanging out with us. And as always, it's always a good time and a great opportunity to get a chance to catch up with you guys. But tonight, Mike, first and foremost, what do you expect to happen? You think the Spurs respond? You think this is a tie series? Because if the Knicks go up 2-0, I'm telling you guys, this is a wrap. It's done.
It's funny. Some of the guys I went to high school with were listening online earlier, and they're like, Coach Sam Mitch is all over the Knicks. You know, and guys like my buddy Rocco, I heard the coach, they can't – Wemby's all hype. No, Wemby's not all hype. He's a little gassed because they went seven games, and they got to evolve a little bit. But you said it. Their coach has got to figure this out. Maybe he's talking to Pop. I mean, look, with all due respect, Pop's a legend. He didn't look so good the other night in the suite. He's like, you know, he's getting up there, Carl.
He is.
But I wonder what kind of take Pop would have on how you approach the Knicks, because they're so big, they're so physical. One of the things we said during our series, there's nobody – we don't have an Ananobi on the Hawks, you know. And I know Bridges got a lot of heat, but he's certainly coming to his own. Hart is a great defender. And then Cat is a guy, and if his head is on straight and he's bringing the intensity, then he can give Wemby all sorts of trouble. So I'm curious, do you keep Wemby on the perimeter? Because Sam Mitchell basically said you can't bring him inside.
Yeah, I just feel like – and I said this yesterday, Mike, when you were out – the perception is because Wemby's 7'5", he's a center. He isn't. He really is a stretch four because he's out there shooting threes and wanting to take people to the basket. You've seen his handles.
So he's a taller Durant? Is that what you're telling me?
He really is. And Durant isn't in there banging with big guys. Neither should Wemby. He is 207, 210 at the most.
Right.
All these guys, right, are way bigger body-wise. I'm not talking about height. Right. And, Mike, if I'm putting my 250, 260, 270 on you for seven games,
wears you down.
It wears you out.
And if you look at Holmgren and Hartenstein, they're skinny too.
Yes. So I just feel like –
but that's about the previous series against OKC.
Yeah, but you've got to find a way. And it's like a misconception because he is the tallest guy. You go, man, but he can do things that all these stretch fours can do, and that's what makes him so versatile. I just feel like that's part of this issue too. He's not going to be down there banging with Mitchell Robinson, either with Cat or anybody, or any of their bigs that they're going to put in. Here's what's interesting, though, guys, and this is where we got to put some respect on his name. Jalen Brunson wins the championship. He's the best free agent acquisition in the history of the league. Here's what Charles Barkley said about that.
I said this a few years ago, I think Brunson might turn out to be the greatest free agent signing. I'm not talking about LeBron and Kevin Durant and guys like that, but I think Brunson, if he's able to deliver a championship to New York, it'll be the greatest free agent signing in NBA history. There's nobody knew he was going to be this good. I didn't. You guys. Nobody. No. When New York signed him, they didn't think he was going to be this good. He's turned them into a perennial contender. They went from never being talked about to the conference finals last year. Now they're in the finals because of Brunson. So if he's able to finish this journey, Mike, it would be the greatest free agent sign in NBA history.
I don't disagree.
I mean, I said to Carl earlier that probably the only other free agent signing that would be bigger in New York is Mark Messier.
Okay.
And you were specifically brought in to end a 54-year drought.
An assassin.
You know, and win a Stanley Cup, which he did. And as we said, you know, it's funny. Think about where we were talking to analysts earlier and all our NBA guys. We had Brian Gelsaler on going, you know, I'll tell you, the problem with Brunson is his dad's on the coaching staff. He runs the show. And then Mike Brown had the presence of mind to say, look, the Hawks are going right at him. We got to pivot to Cat. And ever since we kind of challenged them, if they've been off and running, then all the other things kind of played. And look, the Celtics, would they have ever given them a seven-game series? I don't know. You never got a chance because, you know, let's be honest, Carl, they blew it against the Sixers.
Yeah, not without a healthy Tatum.
If Tatum's healthy, right.
That was the one caveat in that whole ordeal. Speaking of Jalen Brunson, here's what he said about the team's resiliency to come back. Guys, they were down 14 the other night, and they came back. Spurs.
Remember, he's in the locker room. He's getting taped up and shot up.
Yes, ankle, knee. Here's Brunson.
I don't want to say calmness, but I think we know what we have to do. I think we're a pretty together group. Be able to trust each other and still just continue to fight, have each other's back, and just know that we got to keep chipping away. It's just a credit to the mentality we have as a team. But, I mean, we can't just be satisfied with that. We have a long way to go. We have a lot of things we can do to be better. But I'm happy we came away with a win.
Look, when he went to New York, the story was he was Luka's sidekick. He was only good because Luka made him good.
Right.
He was not a max player, which he is. He was not a all-star, which he is. He was not an all-NBA guy, which he is. The thing that he's done, and this is why I agree with Chuck on this, is he's gone to the biggest market, Mike, in New York, and he's proven to everybody that he's all the things that everybody said he wasn't when he left Dallas. He was not a superstar. He was not a brand name.
No.
And now he is. And so in the biggest moment, the other night he had 30 points, and we talked about, you know, the fact he didn't shoot the ball well. Guys, Jalen Brunson's not going to be 2-for-9 from three-point line tonight or any other game in this series.
And the other thing about the Knicks, they won that game despite having almost like 15 minutes of just like a Chinese fire drill where they just looked so disoriented in the way they were pushing the tempo. Because I think the mindset, maybe you agree or disagree, Carl, it's like, let's get down the court before Wemby gets set, you know, on the defensive side. So they were rushing so many shots, and it was just like clanging things off the glass, and none of the looks were quality. So it's like once they got into a bit of a rhythm, and so shame certainly on the Knicks for letting the Spurs go on an 11-3 run with Wemby was on the bench. So everything was really in the Spurs' side of the ledger, and they kind of let the Knicks wriggle off the hook. The floater was something, but the three-point shot, especially with the night he was having,
huge.
To hit that was just mind-blowing.
Well, it was ballsy, too.
He's got the nuggets to take the shot.
I'm not hitting. I've hit one three-pointer tonight. I'm going to take the
with
shot.
With the Spurs bench right over your shoulder, too, by the way.
Here's Wemby, by the way, saying, I'm not worried.
Okay.
We've been down in a series before, never in the finals, obviously, but I'm not kicking myself about anything, really. I mean, I'm not worried the slightest.
Should he be? Yeah, I think he should be worried. I think he should be because this is the best team that they've seen. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we're talking NBA Finals.
Spurs are a 6.5-point favorite.
It's a lot, man. It's a lot.
Oh, Mitch Evans just said, I'd take that for a dollar. I'd buy that action.
It's a lot.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get it back, man. Damn, ref screwed me on the disallowed goal for the – enough about me. Had some heavy loot on
the total degenerate when you start blaming the refs.
I had some wood. I had some wood on the Knights. They never should have gone to overtime. Never should have. The tying goal would have been the Carolina guys tying the score. But I digress. I love the Knicks getting 6.5.
I do too. It's
by the hook, Mitch. Mitch says, talk to your guy. By the hook, take it to 7.
Here's the reason why. If the Knicks keep it close, which I think they will, and this is how they're probably playing this tonight, Mike, I'm not going to go kill myself to win game two. Don't misunderstand me. They want to win, but they also know they get two games at home.
Right.
You've already stole a game. Keep tonight close, and if these guys don't finish in the fourth quarter and we're able to, now we're up 2-0, that's why I think 6.5. This is not going to be a double-digit blowout.
No, you're going to be going to the Garden, which is going to mean – I just wonder, do people who spend $10,000 to sit 600 feet from the court bring some Valentine? I mean, I would like to think that's not all Wall Street, you know, D-bags, and some real passionate fans are going to bring that home court if you're a Knicks fan. But a buddy of mine listening, our buddy Reese from FAMU, goes, hey, man, I'm jumping all over the Knicks tonight. And he goes, conversation. Sam Mitchell loves the Knicks and loves where they're going. But you're right. I mean, this is like a must win for the Spurs all of a sudden because the Knicks have already stolen home court.
One other thing from Wemby. Here he is talking about the fact that he owned it. He was not good the other night. 6 of 21. He had 26 points. But as we like to say, it's a quiet 26. It wasn't an emphatic 26 where you're like, man, he's dominating.
What'd you say? He was 2 for 12 when Cat was D'ing him up?
That's right. Primary defender. So, you know, he's got to go at Cat more. We'll see if that happens tonight. Here's Wemby talking about his performance in game one.
Every team guards differently, you know. I'm going to figure it out. It's, I was bad tonight. It's not more complicated than that.
He ain't lying. I mean, it wasn't solely his fault, but your best player has to be your best player. Brunson was their best player when he needed to be. That fundamentally is the difference. When you're within striking range, 6, 8 points, 3 minutes to play. What are you doing? And he didn't get it done.
I know that, you know, we've talked earlier with Steve Koonin with the Hawks, and, you know, he's not going to tell us because he can't. You know, you can't talk about other players on the roster. But Steve's like, free agency is just not what you think it is. Steve, by the way, apparently was being hijacked by an Uber driver.
Yes, he was.
He was on his phone. We sounded like Steve was calling. We traced the phone call. He's in the trunk. But, no, Steve was having a bad drive apparently today. But, Steve, we'll have to wait and see. But to add that kind of physicality and the size that the Knicks have, it's going to cost some money. You know, and all those guys, teams aren't going to give those guys up if they're available, if they're restricted free agents, to Steve's point.
Yeah, look.
And you can't draft that because it's going to take 5 years to evolve.
No, I respect Steve's opinion on that, but I will respectfully disagree because when you talk about free agents, he's talking about, you know, these restricted free agents. When you start throwing out all these names and teams can put a deal out of the table.
Like a Walker Kessler or Chet Holmgren or Hartenstein.
Those guys
like
are harder to get. There's no debating that. But when you're talking about just a flat-out free agent, it's a bidding war
depending on
what teams covet that guy's services. And if you want that individual or his services bad enough, Mike, you go get them.
I don't think there's a free agent market. And that's why I kept saying Mitchell Robinson would be a nice piece for us if we draft a big.
Yes.
It's a nice tandem. You know, or a Vucevic, if you want to go cheap, an older guy like Vucevic, you know, there's other options for us, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right, man. We are getting ready to get out of here. We're going to celebrate our Father's Day dinner tonight here at Twin Peaks with all of our wonderful listeners.
And we got folks, and we do appreciate the listeners. Some guys, they drove all the way from, like, north of Gainesville. These guys, I always love, Carl, when I drive down.
Wow.
The Smar exit. These guys are from the Smar exit near Macon.
Oh, wow.
That's right. Unlimited power.
Yes,
the big antenna. We got cats from Macon. All four corners of our audience are here today.
That's terrific. All right, man. We'll tell you more about it. Hello. We're going to tell you more about it come Monday and talk about this wonderful dinner and all the things that come out of it. We are also going to talk about this great weekend, including the Braves. Hopefully, we're able to win another series. Hey, man, stay tuned. Turtle's got you covered. He's got a full 4 hours, but we got to get out of here. Day-Day, let's clear our throat. Hey, thanks to all of our guests today. B-Mac, Brian McFadden, Steve Koonin joining us. B-Mac also, Mike, talking about some interesting things around the NFL. If you missed any of the interviews, guys, go online at Odyssey.com. Coach of the Year, Sam Mitchell, and our buddy Grant McCauley. Again, subscribe and like the content. That way you get all the breaking news and all of the Dukes and Bell content on a daily basis. All right, man, have a great weekend. It's great to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports station and its number one sports show. We got to get out of here. Commissioner Gordon, G-Money, thanks for being our on-site engineer. Day-Day, great job all week with O-Off back at the studio. We got to roll, Mike. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, we played that soundbite earlier, and I got a little misty hearing Ned Jarrett calling his son Dale Jarrett, winning his first Daytona 500 victory. And it goes back to the chemistry in a broadcast team. Can't manufacture it, whether it's the TNT guys or even something which maybe as niche as NASCAR, but they had it. No disrespect to Darrell Waltrip. Boogity, boogity, boogity. I never liked you. It's too much. I'm sorry, Trick Ticker. I never liked Darrell Waltrip. I love Ned Jarrett. I love Benny Parsons. They were likable guys. They knew the show was on four wheels.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
You're not the show. Anyway, rest in peace, Ned Jarrett, a champion and an amazing man and a wonderful ambassador for NASCAR who passed away today.
I'm looking forward to speaking with all of our listeners here, but more importantly, Mike, I'm looking forward to talking history with Abe's father. I can't wait. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't,
you also never expected the Spanish Inquisition.
'How We Made Your Mother' is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow 'How We Made Your Mother' wherever you get your podcasts.